All right, you go ahead and put it in the comments. I'm anointed to teach it. You put in the comments, I'm anointed to receive this word. I am anointed to receive this word. How many of you love the word of God? I love the word of God. Why? Because it has the power to change my life. It has the power to change my life. Now, I'm going to be talking to you this morning about walking in resurrection authority. And when I finished the teaching on Wednesday, Resurrection Revealed, one of the scriptures that I used was Colossians 3 and verse 1 in the Passion Translation. It says, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Christ's resurrection is my resurrection too. So Christ's resurrection should change how I live. As a born again believer, my life should look distinctly different. Yes, I'm in this world, but I am not of this world. Yes, there will be trouble in this world, but I am anointed to overcome. Put that in the comments. I am anointed to overcome trouble. I am anointed to overcome life's challenges. I am anointed to overcome sickness and disease. I am anointed to overcome grief. I am anointed to overcome challenges. Why am I anointed to overcome? Because of what Jesus did in the resurrection. Because of Jesus. So as we're talking about walking in resurrection authority, it is imperative that we take our proper place. It is imperative that we get in position and that we shift from a mindset, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, I'm not. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is that we shift from a position of thinking that I'm at the bottom of the barrel, that they can hold me back because of my gender, that they can hold me back because of the color of my skin. I am not denying that those things exist. I am saying that we have something superior. In Colossians, it says, that is why we are to yearn for all that is above. In heaven, I am an overcomer. In heaven, I am a champion. In heaven, I am a winner. In heaven, I am at peace. In heaven, I have joy. In heaven, I am the healed of the Lord. We are to yearn for all that is above, where Christ is enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. All power, honor, and authority. Somebody put that on your notes in the comments. Where Christ is in the place of all power, all honor, and all authority. Now, Chris, she was singing, and man, she did such a beautiful job, her and Valley this morning, and she was singing, we agree with heaven. Walking in resurrection authority is all about agreeing with heaven. Do you agree with heaven? Do you agree with heaven, or do you agree with the pain that's in your body? Do you agree with heaven, or do you agree with how your kids are acting right now? Do you agree with heaven, or do you agree with what the economy says? Because whatever you agree with, that's what you're going to see. Whatever you agree with, that is what you are going to see. If you agree with heaven, you are going to see heaven come into the earth. If you agree with hell, if you agree with the world, that is what your life is going to be dominated by. So we're going to be talking about the importance of how walking in resurrection authority and what that looks like. Listen, I want to tell y'all this. I was talking to Jordan the other day, and I am happy to report that Jordan is about to finish her freshman year at ORU. And I said, Jordan, how do you feel? And she said, I am so proud of myself. And she said, I did what a lot of people didn't think I could. How did Jordan do what a lot of people didn't think she could? Because her father and I and her family and I, we chose to walk in resurrection authority. In the natural, it said, these are the limitations of Jordan. But the Lord said, if you believe me, you will see Jordan do the impossible. And a lot of people may not know this, but Jordan is a creative writer. And she specifically likes to write anime. Go figure. Well, she's on this site where they submit stories, and we're talking about the stories. And so I'm like, tell me about some of your stories. Tell me how it's going. And that girl's like, Mom, look at my account. And the stories that she has written, she has had 22,000 people read her stories. Wait, a girl that's not supposed to be able to talk, a girl that they cannot discern whether she is mildly mentally retarded or not, a girl who is never supposed to get sarcasm, a girl who is never supposed to do anything but be stuck in the cycles and the limitations of what it means to be identified as autistic, is showing me that 22,000 people have read the stories that she is creating. Tell your neighbor, say, and we're just getting started. How is that possible? How is that possible? It is not just because Strick and I are so smart. It is because when faced with a position from the world and a position from heaven, we agreed with heaven. Who are you agreeing with? When you look at the job market, who are you agreeing with? When you look at your marriage, who are you agreeing with? When you look at your health, who are you agreeing with? Because if you're going to walk in authority, if you are going to overcome life's challenges, you are going to have to take your place and walk in resurrection authority. And that is what we're teaching about this morning. Glory to God, right? Let's look at Luke 10 and 19. You need to grab your Bibles. You need to grab your paper Bible. You need to grab your electronic Bible. You need to write. You need to do all of this. Do you know what I told Jor? I said, girl, you got more people following you than I got following me on Facebook. She said, and Mom, people tell me that they really like my stories. I said, babe, just keep going. Keep going. Some of you need to hear that word. You need to keep going. You need to keep going on what God told you. In Luke 10 and 19, it says, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Baby, every believer ought to have this promise highlighted in your Bible. He said, wait a minute. I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all some of the power of the enemy. This, a headache, but not cancer. A child that's addicted to drugs, but not a child that's caught up in sex trafficking. No. What does it say? All the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. I honestly believe that this is a scripture that most believers do not have deeply rooted in their hearts. And you don't have it deeply rooted in your heart, because when you see the power of the enemy, you get nervous. When you see the power of the enemy, you look around and say, God, where are you? He says, I've already given you authority. I have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Now, guys, you know we're not talking about real snakes and stuff here. We're talking about spiritual powers, wickedness in high places. He says, you have authority over that and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Well, why do we have so much of the stuff that happens in our life? Because we don't know our authority. We don't know our authority. Just as Christ conquered sin and death through his resurrection, he also gave us the authority to triumph over the forces of darkness. This authority is not just a mere concept, but it is a reality that flows from the victory secured on the cross and affirmed in his resurrection. As we grasp the depth of this truth, it empowers us to walk boldly in the authority given to us by Christ, knowing that nothing can stand against us when we operate in his name. We need to understand that saying in the name of Jesus, it is not just a tagline we throw on something. It is saying, I know by whose authority I am speaking. No, I don't have the right to the job because I'm me. I have the right to the job because I am going in the name of the Lord. I don't have the right to healing because I've done everything right. I have the right to healing because I am operating in the authority of his name. I know who my God is. Turn and tell your neighbor, it's time to know who your God is. It is time for you to know who your God is. And right where you are, you ought to begin to speak to some situations in your life according to your God. According to your God. And Pastor Ellen and I have said this for years, that one of the things that can be challenging is that many times you guys are praying and begging for what you should be declaring. Now let's go back to Jordan, because I'm going to walk Jordan as we Jordan through this story, right? Once we heard that it was the will of God for Jordan to talk, hear what I'm about to say. We did not ask God to let Jordan talk again. There was no need. Because according to Luke 10 and 19, we have authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm us. So whatever the root cause was that was stopping Jordan from talking, it did not come from heaven. So once we knew it was the will of God, we began to command Jordan to talk according to our authority as believers. Is this making sense to you? And what we see a lot is we see a lot of yo-yoing for believers, where if your arm is hurting today and you ask the Lord to heal your arm today and your arm is still hurting tomorrow, you come and ask the Lord to heal your arm again. Do you believe you receive when you pray? That's what Mark 11 says. It says, we believe that we receive when we pray. So what do I do tomorrow, Pastor Sean, when I get up and my elbow is hurting? I say, elbow, you have been healed in the name of Jesus. I command you to align with the word of God. Man, we're going to grow in this in such a way, and this go blow the gates off some of the things that the enemy has been holding back in our lives. We're going to grow in this word. We're going to receive this word. We're going to begin to align. Amen, Pastor Chris. We're going to begin to speak in authority with the word of God, and there are going to be things that the enemy has been playing with you and your family about, and you're going to say, no, no, no. In the name of Jesus, I command this situation to become the will of God. Many of you are begging for what God has already given. And here's the thing, Luke 10, I want to move on, but look at it. He says, I have given you authority. So I want you to think about this. If I have given Canaan authority to use my credit card, why would Canaan call me to come to the store and use my credit card? Y'all better hear what I'm saying. If I have given Canaan my credit card, given her the authority to use my credit card, why would she go to the store and then call me and say, Mama, can you come here and pay for my purchase? I'm not coming up there. Why am I not coming up there? Why? I'm not coming up there. God, come by my situation. Why? You're already authorized and permitted to release God into your situation. God, we just need you to come down. I'm already in you, the hope of glory. What I need you to do is believe what I told you. Say amen to that. Now let's go this, right? Because there's going to be some boldness. And just like when we were believing God for Jordan, people thought we were arrogant. People thought we were delusional. Strick said he liked when I say DeLulu. They thought we was DeLulu. But at the end of the day, they don't think we delusional now. And so to the person who doesn't know their authority, to other believers, you're going to seem arrogant. But I want to remind you, this is not about us. This is about what Jesus has done. And I want to say this as we keep going, because I want to define authority and power for you. But I think that this is so important, because so many times I hear believers saying what they deserve. And I really need you to hear this. It is very important. Now, I want you to hear this from a worldly humanity sense. We deserve to be treated well. We deserve, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit, and the pursuit of happiness. But in reality, as born again believers, anything we deserve, we only deserve it because Christ has decided it belongs to us. So I'm never standing in, I deserve this because I've done everything right. No. I deserve this because I receive what Jesus has done. And so there are many times people like, I deserve to be loved well. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve death. It's just better to say, I receive what Jesus has freely given me. I receive it. And so I stand in it. Jordan didn't deserve healing. We have the right to access healing because of what Jesus done. And so we really need to take ourselves out of the equation, standing from a human point that we deserve something because of our goodness. It's never our goodness. It's always his goodness. Tell your neighbor, say it's all about him. It's his goodness. I deserve healing, his goodness. I receive healing, his goodness. I receive financial breakthrough, his goodness. I receive restoration of my marriage, his goodness. Me and Pastor Strick, we didn't deserve to have our marriage healed. It was he did that. It was because of what he had allotted for us. And the truth of it is that many of us, we would see more breakthroughs in our lives if we stopped trying to receive from God and rebuke the devil off of our own qualifications. If we stop trying to remind God about what we've done, how we've tithed, how faithful we've been, how much we sing in the choir, if we stop doing that and we just stood and said, I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. Thank God I'm in Christ. Oh, thank God I'm in Christ. Oh, thank God I'm a born again believer. Oh, thank God for what Jesus has done in my life. Oh, thank I am in Christ. Come on and give God some praise. Somebody just shout the name Jesus. So we're going to begin to make this distinction between what's authority. You ought to be sharing this with people, because there are people right now and they're like, why hasn't God shown up in my life? He is. He's waiting on you to activate what he's shown up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. So let's look at authority, because if he says we have authority, we need to know what authority is. Authority is the delegated power or right to act with influence, control, and legitimacy in accordance with God's will and purpose. Let me say that again. Authority is delegated power. That means the power doesn't come from you. It means that Jesus took his power and gave it to the body. It is delegated power, so it is a delegated right to act with influence, control, and legitimacy in accordance with God's will and purpose. That is why you cannot stick in Jesus' name on something that God didn't say. Like, you can't marry somebody God didn't tell you to marry and stick in Jesus' name on it. Because the purpose of authority, is its delegated power that was intended to be used in accordance with God's will and purpose. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to use your authority right. It is not based on our personal merit. It is not based on our strength, but it is derived from God himself, who entrusts believers with the responsibility to exercise authority in alignment with God's word and character. So God has given us authority, but he expects us to use that authority in alignment with his word and his character. We are supposed to use his authority. That's just like this. Back to the credit card. If I give Canaan permission to use my credit card to go to California, she is not supposed to then take my credit card and go to Europe, because that was not the scope of the delegated power that had been given to her. So it is important that we begin to use our authority, not just up here throwing out words. I'm the head and not the tail. The head of what? What has God called you to be the head of? I'm above and not beneath. Above what? What has God called you to be above in? It is important. That's why we say in Fellowship of Champions, faith starts where the will of God is known. It is important for us to know what is the scope. What is the, let's use this word, it's not in the notes, but write it down, the jurisdiction. What is the jurisdiction that God has given us? Because even though we're all believers, we don't all have jurisdiction everywhere. So we need to know what the will of God is for our lives, and we need to begin to operate in it, right? My authority is not based on my power. Praise God. How many of you have figured out your power is limited? My authority is not based on my power. It's based on God's power. I have been authorized. What is my authorization? My authorization is to bring his will to pass in my life and in the areas he has given me authority to speak to. That's so good. Now let's talk about power. Power refers to the ability or capacity to accomplish something or produce an effort. So in the context of scripture, power often denotes strength, might, and authority. It can manifest in various forms, including physical strength, influence, and supernatural abilities. In scripture, authority is closely linked to responsibility and obedience to God's word. For example, Jesus exercised authority over demons, sickness, and nature, demonstrating his divine authority to the Son of God. Now, I want you to see this. In Luke 4, when Jesus is in the wilderness, even though Jesus has all of this power, Jesus has a responsibility as the Son of Man to use that power in alignment with God's word. So when Jesus is being tempted by the enemy, and the enemy says, "You're hungry, turn these stones into bread." Even though Jesus had the power, he did not have the authority because he was on a fast. And that's why he responded with the word. And then he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." So the word of God is always going to set the parameters for my authority. All right, let me give y'all an example. Are y'all tracking with me? If you're tracking with me, say, "I'm tracking, Pastor." Okay. We've told you this story many times, that God told Edwin and I not to go where? Do not move where? If they ever do a trivia of the life of Sean and Edwin Strickland, Edwin and Sean Strickland, what is the place that Edwin and Sean was not supposed to move? He said, "Do not move to Atlanta." His word limited the jurisdiction in which I have the right to bring his will to pass in my life. What does that mean? That means I may have had the power to move to Atlanta, but I did not have the authority to move to Atlanta. And if I chose to move to Atlanta, what I did not have the right to do was to attempt to bring the will of God for my life into a place that God told me not to be. Well, saints. You want a biblical example? I'm so glad you asked. Elijah is being fed by a raven and he's being supplied water by a brook. The raven brings him food. You know that ravens don't just normally bring food. So God has authorized this raven to bring food to Elijah. But when the brook dries up, there is a word over Elijah's life. The word is, go to Zarephath. There is a woman there, a widow woman there. I have commanded to sustain you. So Elijah has been at this brook. He's been fed by a raven. But now the Lord has said, what you used to have the jurisdiction to receive in this cave, at this brook, I have now told you to go to Zarephath. I want y'all to know this. Elijah would have starved to death if he'd have stayed at that brook. Why? Because the word said, go to Zarephath. How many of you are trying to use authority and power in a place God didn't call you? How many of you are engaged in demonic warfare that you shouldn't even be in, that wouldn't even be busting you upside your head if you had been where God told you to be? And let me tell you where I see this a lot. A believer will hear God begin to tell them to leave their job. And they will be like, but it's a good job, but everybody like me, but they said I was going to get a promotion. And then what ends up happening is God will be warning them, I need you to leave this job. I want you to go. I want you to go work this place. I want you to move. I want you to move. And they'll be dragging their feet because it's so good. Well, you got the power to do that. You have the power. You have choice. You can choose whatever you want. You can choose whatever you want. But what if I watch happen over and over again? One of two things happens, typically both. That person ends up with either a boss or co-workers that are plotting against them. Now they stressed out at work. Now they always going through something and they're in the office trying to rebuke it. I take authority over these people coming against me. I take authority over this. Here's the problem. You are outside of your jurisdiction. You were outside of your jurisdiction the moment God told you to leave that job. And then what will happen is that you will end up at a job that used to be a blessing, now begins to stress you out. Now you got anxiety in your body. Now you're not sleeping well at night. Now they always questioning you about what you're doing. And let me tell you what almost end up happening. You get fired. And now your self-esteem has taken a blow. And then you're sitting at home shell-shocked saying, God, why did this happen to me? God, you need to do something about these people who did what they did to me. And the Lord is like, girl, I told you to leave that job a year ago. Sir, I told you to leave that job 2 years ago. God, why would you let that happen to me? No, you used your own power to stay in a place where I told you not to stay. And anytime I choose, I got the right to choose whatever I want to. But if I choose to go outside of the will of God, I give the enemy free access to my life. Free access. Somebody say, I repent. Somebody say, get where he told you to be. Get where he told you to be. I have watched people. I love that they said, don't use your power to usurp God's authority. How many of you can see this? You've tried to force something that God said no about. You're going to force the relationship to work. God told you that you could not trust that person. That person wasn't supposed to be your friend. Let me say this. He might not have even told you you couldn't trust them. He just said to you, they don't need to be as close to you as they used to be. And you're like, but we've been best friends since sixth grade. They don't need to be as close to you. And then something ends up happening. And how many times have we said, God, why did you let that happen to me? God honored your choice. Now, I want to tell you this. Tell your neighbor, say, everybody type in all caps because I don't want us to leave sad. Somebody say mercy. Now, the great thing is that even when we make these choices, his mercy is working for us. His mercy is working to get us where we're supposed to be. Thank God for mercy. But in reality, we want to be quick to hear and quick to obey. Put that in the comments. Quick to hear and quick to obey. I said on Wednesday night, we have got to get to the point that when God says no, whatever he said no about becomes gross to us. Excuse me. It says, okay, so the enemy has power and we have power. But what did Luke 10 and 19 tell us? We have authority over all the power of the enemy. So no matter what the enemy is doing to you, there is an authority to stop it. You may be challenged in a particular area, but there is an authority that God has given you to stop it. The ability to release that authority is going to be based on me hearing what God desires to do in the situation and then getting in position. We have authority to stop it. So that's going to move us from this place of begging God or begging the devil. So, no, I love what I've said. That's good news. So let's take grief, for example. It is a natural thing. It is a natural emotion that when someone we love dies, that we would be sad. That is a natural human emotion. And there is nothing wrong with sadness. However, there is something wrong with grief because grief is a thief. So Jesus tells us in Isaiah 53 that he has borne our grief. That means that when I am sad because this person is no longer here, I have the right to stand in the authority to reject grief. Why would I want to reject grief? Because grief is a thief. What do I mean? Grief seeks to not only make you miss the person who isn't here in the physical world anymore, but grief seeks to stop you from living. Grief is a manifestation of the enemy's mantra to steal, kill, and destroy. What do I mean? Grief wants you to miss who isn't here so much that you can't live with who he is now. And we're getting close to Mother's Day, and we see this a lot around Mother's Day. People who are operating in grief over their mother not being there will often steal the joy from Mother's Day from their children. So because their mother is not there to celebrate, they will steal, grief will convince them that they don't have a reason to celebrate. And then they will steal the joy of their children to celebrate them on Mother's Day. So this one death that we did not recognize we had authority over grief, then now, 15 years later, your mama been gone home to be with the Lord for 15 years, and you still can't enjoy Thanksgiving because grief is dominating your life. So we have to stand in our authority, which looks like this. Yes, I miss so-and-so. And yes, I wish they were here for these moments, but they are not, and I choose to live. I choose to live. I choose to honor them for their legacy, and I choose to honor God that I still have breath in my body. So what I will not do is act like I died too. Because really, grief is a thief because it causes you to act like you died. So literally, because they can't celebrate Christmas anymore, you don't celebrate Christmas anymore. Because they don't have joy anymore, you don't. I mean, if they in heaven, they do have joy. But because they're not here having joyous moments, let's say it like that, then now you don't have joy. And grief is a thief. So those of you who have been operating under a spirit of thief, you now have to step in authority. Here's what that means. God is not going to come and snatch grief off of you. What you are going to do is you go say, wait a minute, the enemy been tricking me. He had me believing that I was honoring so-and-so by not getting out to bed. He had me believing that it was natural for me not to be able to function a year after so-and-so died. I take authority based on the word and I evict the spirit of grief and I command you to go and get out of my life. And then I stop doing the stuff that grief does. I'm just talking about. Now, Ephesians 4:24, New Living Translation. It says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. This isn't just about not cussing people out. This isn't just about not cussing people out. This is about putting on the nature of Christ. So in the natural, when something happens, is it natural for me to be sad because someone died? I love these people putting in the comments, Mama, I miss you, but I choose to live. Daddy, I miss you, but I choose to live. I evict the spirit of grief. You have to do that by authority. You also need to notice, if you've been dancing and in relationship with the spirit of grief must go when you say something. But the spirit of grief is looking for an opportunity to come back. So the next time you put on that sad music, grief go be at your door. Hey, is there an opening? I love it in the comments. They say grief is not a part of the fruit of the spirit. I have not received grief from the nature of God. So yes, am I allowed to feel sadness? Yes, but I will not allow sadness to steal my life. I will not allow sadness to steal the joys of the future. Yes, I miss this person. Yes, it's natural that I would miss somebody I love, but I will put on the nature of God and I reject covenant with grief. I feel like somebody need to hear this. This wasn't even in my notes. Going deeper in grief is not proof that you love somebody. Going deeper in grief is not proof that you love somebody. Going deeper in grief is proof that you do not know you have a covenant of peace, even in sadness. We are not honoring our loved ones by living in grief. We are not. We are not. We are honoring our God, our loved ones, by continuing to live a good, abundant life that honors God. I love it. Pastor Chris said, performance does not equal love even in death. Some of y'all ought to just get up and you ought to act like you taking off the garment of grief, like it's a robe, you unzipping it, you stepping out of it, and you need to put on the covenant of peace. I choose peace. Now I hear the Lord telling me to say this, that you need to begin to say to the Lord, what are the practical things you want me to do when I feel sadness over this person, over this situation? How am I going to mind my mind? How am I going to mind my mind when Mother's Day comes, when birthdays come, when anniversaries come? How am I going to mind my mind? Now, I have a suggestion that I've taught my clients, taught the people that that Pastor Edwin and I counsel, but you ask the Lord what you should do. I believe that when we feel sadness over a person, that it is okay to give ourselves an opportunity to feel that sadness for a moment. But I believe we ought to have a timer, and that that moment of sadness should not be allowed to dwell more than 3 minutes. So here's the transition. I'm sad because this person isn't here. I'm feeling the tears well up. I'm feeling the emptiness come. I'm going to allow myself, wow, I really wish they were here. Wow, I didn't expect them to be gone this long. Well, I really wish we had this moment. And then I'm going to begin to remember that God is with me and the good moments we had. And I'm going to trade that sorrow for joy. I'm going to have me some go-to funny stories. I'm going to have some go-to hilarious memories. I'm going to have some go-to life lessons. And I'm going to say, Lord, I thank you that even though they're not here, the wisdom they gave me is, the memories that they gave me are. And then I'm going to get up and I'm going to go and have joy. Now, that's your practical thing. That's your practical thing. I'm going to get up. I'm going to trade sorrow for joy. All right, let's keep going. Who we gonna put on this new nature? How many of you can see this putting on new nature? How many of you can see practical things you need to do that's walking in resurrection authority? That's walking in resurrection authority. I'm walking in it. I'm putting it on. I'm walking in it. I'm putting it on. Sometimes it may seem like the garment tries to slip off. I'm going to get in this word. I'm going to pull this scripture up and I'm going to put this garment on. I'm going to zip it up to the top. I'm putting it on. I'm not putting on grief. I'm putting on peace. That is what it means to walk in resurrection authority. It means that everything that Jesus says belongs to me, I am going to stand in the reality of it. Amen. So, we are to respond to life's challenges the way that Jesus did. Instead of cowering in fear or accepting the status quo, we are to stand in our authority in Christ and command all of the enemy's plans to fail in our lives. We are to command all of the enemy's plans to fail in our lives. I need you to say this. Say, in the name of Jesus, I curse every demonic assignment and plot against my life. And I release the will of God in my life. I command every plot and plan of the enemy to dry up and die like the fig tree. There shall be no more fruit of you. Now, if you go and read that story, which you should, what you will find is that Jesus spoke to a fig tree that had leaves but no fruit. The work of the enemy is a lot of leaves but no fruit. It looks like something fruitful, but it's not. And Jesus says, since you don't have fruit, you might as well go ahead and die. You need to look at them situations and say, no, you dead. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. Jesus keeps going because he believed what he said. Oh, I love that. Who just said that? It was an imposter tree. See, I want you to know that grief, I want you to know that poverty, I want you to know that sickness, I want you to know that they are imposter trees in your life. They're not the fruit of the spirit. They're not the will of God for your life. So you go stop begging them to leave. You're going to look at them and you go start saying you are dead in Jesus' name. You go get you some mafia in your life to say you dead to me. Now, here's the thing. How many of you know that after Jesus said that, the tree didn't immediately die up on the outside, but it was dying on the inside? See, you ought to begin to speak to situations, to offense. You ought to begin to speak to sickness and disease and say, you dead to me. You dead to me. You're dead to me. And every time that situation rear up, you say, it's already dead. Now, I'm going to tell this story to this, my oldest baby, Chris. Listen, I'm going to tell this story. She probably going to get up and run. But well before the amazing Nagel Valley came into our life, we had us an imposter tree that had come to get my daughter. And my daughter was convinced that this was a man she was going to be with. My daughter accepted his proposal, and everybody could see that it was an imposter tree, but my daughter. And let me tell y'all, because I want y'all to know, mamas, baby, at first I was fussing. I was hollering every time. I couldn't stand for her. She lived with me at the time. She would say, we're going on a date, and I just want to lock in the basement and just be like, you. It was just, the pastor said, an imposter stump. I know who said that. Honey, I went in that prayer room and the Lord brought me that fig tree illustration. And he said, curse it at the root. You know it ain't my will. Ah, Shandele Beko Shoto. I think they dated 6 more months. Well, baby, let me tell you who wasn't concerned no more. Baby, listen, I think she thought I had started to like him because she would be like, mom, we're about to go. I'd be like, you look so pretty. Honey, she'd be walking to that car and say, this relationship just as dead as it want to be. This is dead as a doughnut. This is dead, honey. And when she finally came in and said, mom, I want to tell you something. Babe, what you want to tell me? I'm not going to marry him. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It was D-E-A-D. It was dead. And the old folks say it was dead in a donut. But see, you got to have some fortitude. You got to have some fortitude to be able to stay. Once you know the will of God. See, okay, so for Jordan, guys, we about to get ready to go, but I think this is a good teaching right here. For Jordan, we had to ignore that she was not talking in order to call talking out of her. But when we see something that is not the will of God, when we see something that is not the will of God, we have to learn how to call it dead instead of being frustrated by what we see. See, the frustration, see, the enemy, he wants to use time to get you to agree with hell. You better hear what I'm saying. He wants you to say, ain't nothing I can do about it. I can always pray the will of God. I can always declare the will of God. Now, I couldn't make her break up with him. Oh, but let me tell you what I could pray. Ephesians 1 says, I pray that their eyes would be flooded with light, that they would know the glorious hope to which they have been called. You got to learn when people are in bondage, instead of allowing what you see in the natural to wear you out, you got to learn how to say, I agree with this prayer in Ephesians 1. I pray that their eyes be flooded with light, that they would know the glorious hope to which they have been called. I pray that they would be awakened to remember who they are. I pray that everywhere they go, they would be reminded of the will of God regarding their life. I pray that everywhere they go, that the will of God would be revealed to them. I pray that you engage them when they sleep. You engage them when they shower. You engage them when they drive. You engage them at work. Don't let them be able to go anywhere and not be reminded of your will. And I pray that their heart would be turned toward your will. I pray that their heart would be turned toward your will. And I want to tell you that when you standing in that position, it's hard to be frustrated. I was this morning, I had something came up on Instagram, and it's something that the Lord said to me years ago. This mother said, the Lord said, I want to show you what your kids look like in heaven so you know what to say in earth. What? I want to show you. God wants to show you what your family looks like in heaven so you know what to say in earth. God wants to show you what your body looks like in heaven so you know what to say in earth. God wants to show you what your career looks like in heaven so you know what to say in earth. And then the enemy, because he doesn't want heaven to come to the earth, what he's going to do is he is going to try to use what you can see to get you to back up off what God said. But I need somebody who done got some word up in their back this morning to say, but I ain't moving. I ain't moving off what God said. I'm not moving off of what God said. I'm not moving off of what, I'm not agreeing with hell over your life. I'm not agreeing with hell for your destruction. Glory to God. Listen. I'm not moving off of what God has said. And so because I'm not moving, I'm not begging. Because some of y'all praying, but you begging. God, do you see my daughter? God, do you see my son? God, do you see my husband? God's like, I see it, but what you gonna say? I say that the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Jesus said, when you pray, pray this. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means that you learn how to look at somebody who's standing there looking like a picture of hell and call heaven out of them. I declare the will of God shall be done in your life. I'm not cowering. I'm not backing down. I'm not retreating off the word. I know what God said. I know in whom I have believed. Baby, y'all done got me stirred up in this teaching today. Listen, you done got me stirred up because you need to learn how to stand on the word. Once I know the will of God, I confer no longer with flesh and blood. And some of you need to quit feeling sorry for yourself, and you need to stand up and put the word in your belly, in your mouth and in your heart, and you need to say what God said until you see what God said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You better learn how to open up your mouth and say what God has said. Right now, while you sitting in your house or wherever you are, you ought to be saying what God is saying about your life. I call that job to me now in Jesus' name. I call my kids out of sin. I call peace into this marriage. You're not going to be up in my house with us all in discipline. Court and we can't stand to be in the same room. We got days of heaven on earth. It is the will of God concerning us. Luke 19:13 says it like this. Jesus said it like this. Occupy until I come. Take up some space. Take up some space. Take up some space. Remain faithful to my work until I come. Remain faithful to my word until I come. What did Jesus do when he was on earth? What 1 John 3:18? He destroyed the works of the devil. What's your assignment? To destroy the works of the devil? You're not a victim of life circumstances. You're not a faith punk. You're not a coward. You got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Stir it up. You're not a victim of your life. You have been called and appointed and set in place at this time to speak The word of God. You got to start saying, somebody right now, the enemy be playing with your mind. You got to open up your mouth instead of calling somebody saying, pray for my mind. You got to say, you will not have my mind. My mind does not belong to you. My mind belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm a born again believer, and you will not have my mind. My mind is not yours to have. You will not have my body. My body is not yours to have. You will not have my money. My money is not yours to have. You will not have my children. My children are not yours to have. They do not belong to you. And I release heaven on my behalf. I release angels on my behalf to bring the will of God into pass. Come to pass. My God. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. God, we bless you. We thank you that you have not left us in this earth without hope. We thank you that you have given us the power of your word, the Holy Ghost, and angels. I thank you that you have given us authority, and we decree and declare that you are teaching us to operate in this authority. Right now, somebody, you got problems with your mind. I want you to stand up, put your hand on your head, and say, my mind does not belong to the devil. Get out of here. You're not waking me up in the middle of the night no more. I'm not going to be driving down the street crying. Don't know why I'm crying. I'm not going to be thinking about killing myself. I'm not dying till I fulfill the will of God in my life. You go. Get out of my life now. Pastor Sean, I did it yesterday. Do it again. Some of you struggle with offense. I take authority over that in Jesus' name. I will not be an offended person. If you're an offended person, you need to stand up right now and make that declaration. If you easily offended, no. I will not be an offended person. I am unoffendable. I don't care what they do. I'm not giving them access to my heart. I'm not giving demons access to my heart. Hallelujah. Some of you need to stand up right now and decree and declare over your marriage. This is a house of peace. This is a peaceful house. You don't raise no hell up in here. This is heaven. We ain't doing that up in here. See, I'm telling you that when you begin to get in your understanding of who you are, there is an aggression that begins to come up out of you, because you know that what the enemy is doing, he is doing it because you don't know who you are. So when you know who you are, you say, oh no, you got to get up out of here. And then you got to do something. You start doing gangster stuff. You be like, oh, this how I feel. This really how I feel. I feel like this. If the devil had just left me and Strick alone, we probably just would have been average, go to church, some Sunday Christians. But see, you out here, you get to playing with our life and you get to playing with our marriage. And then we find out that God can restore marriage. So now it ain't enough that he restored our marriage. Now we got to see him restore some other marriages. Why? You should, because the Bible says when a thief be caught, he must repay. So what needs to begin to happen is that whatever you're walking through right now, not only are you coming out of it, but your testimony go bring somebody else out. I'm standing in my authority. I am an overcomer, not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so much, but because I know who my God is. I have believed in my God. Listen, occupy until I come. I hear the Lord saying you need to occupy some space. You need to occupy some space. You need to manage your mind. You need to manage your life. You need to occupy. You need to take that space up and begin to speak the word of God into your life. You need to open up your mouth. Quit talking about what we gonna do if it don't turn around. It's already turned around. What you gonna do if it don't change? It's already changed. Now I'm just walking in agreement to what God said. I will see what God said in the land of the living. Somebody need to declare that out their belly. I will see what God said in the land of the living. I will see what God said. I want to give y'all these points, but I really want us to end with making some declarations. How many of you believe we ought to end with making some declarations? We need to end with making some declarations, but I'm going to give y'all these points right here so you'll have. Here's what you got to do if you're going to walk in resurrection authority. You must know your identity in Christ. You must know your identity in Christ. Y'all talk about y'all personality types. Y'all talk about what y'all all is on the Enneagram, what y'all is on the disc. And I want y'all to know that some of these personalities you got, you did not, they did not come from God. God did not create you to be that way. Trauma created you to be that way. And you need to know your identity in Christ, and you need to redeem and restore your identity. Romans 8:37, it says, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. What is my identity in Christ? I am more than a conqueror. I am not a victim of life circumstances. I am not a victim of what they did to me. I am not a victim of what they said about me. I am not a victim of what happened to me. I am not a victim of my failures. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. That is my identity. Y'all done got me stirred up. I'm about to stand up too. Let me stand on up. I can't hardly pray sitting down. I move my chair. Hold on. Let's do some work up in here this morning. Fan, all that. Number two, I got to submit to God and resist the devil. I have to submit to God and resist the devil. They two steps. I have to submit to God. James 4:7 in the Amplified, it says, so submit to the authority of God. I can't be under the authority of God and the authority of the devil. I can't be under the authority of healing and sickness. I got to pick whose authority I'm going to be under. I resist the devil, stand firm against him. How do I stand firm against the devil? I say what God said. Which gets us to number three. I got to speak the word of God. Stop having such a reckless mouth. Stop saying anything. Stop agreeing with anything. Stop letting frustration talk through you. Stop letting your pain be the reason that the devil can get you to say anything about your family, anything about your husband, anything about the city you live in, anything about the company you work for. Put a guard on your mouth. Say what God is saying. Isaiah 55:11, we'll look at the New Living Translation and the Amplified. It says, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. Glory to God. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper where I send it. Have you sent the word into your situation? Have you sent the word into your situation? Because I got the word working on some stuff in my life right now. Now, you may look at my life and you may think there is no victory there, but the devil is alive. The word is working on that situation in my life right now. The word is working. Somebody turn and tell your neighbor, the word is working. In the Amplified, it says, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me. This is God saying, it will not return to God void, useless, and without results. Ain't no way I speak the word and we don't get results. There is no way we speak the word and it doesn't get results. Man, are y'all being blessed by this teaching? I'm just preaching the word to you. I'm just reading the word to you. So will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, useless, and without result, without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. The word is working. I want you to stand up if you got the ability. I want you to begin to speak over your family. The will of God concerning my family, it shall be done in Jesus' name. The will of God over my health, it shall be done in Jesus' name. The will of God over my mind, it shall be done in Jesus' name. The will of God over FOC shall be done in Jesus' name. The will of God over my city shall be done in Jesus' name. The will of God shall be done. The word is working. Listen, you can send me the message when it happens. In the next 24 hours, somebody that you praying for go do something stupid. Baby, I want you to look at that situation and say, honey, that's so dead. Honey, that's so dead. Baby, that is so dead. That is so dead. Hallelujah. Number four, I got to take every thought captive. I got to take every thought captive. You can't let your mind wander everywhere. Why it happened for them and it didn't happen for me, the word is working. You got to guard your mind against negative thoughts. And I'm just going to tell you, some of y'all, you are too prone to negativity to watch some of the stuff you watch on social media. I'm just saying, you are not naturally a happy, joyous, positive person. In fact, naturally, you are more of a Grinch. You are more of Oscar the Grouch. And so you get on there on that social media, as the old people say, on that book of faces, on that tick and talk, and that I and that G, and you get that doubt and you get that off it because your timeline is filled with trouble. It is filled with conspiracy theory. It is filled with, I'm going to say what it is. It's filled with garbage. You wonder why you ain't got no peace in your marriage. You watch every story about somebody cheating. You wonder why you afraid that somebody go do something to you. You watch every story about murder. Every story about scamming. You know 35 people's story about what happened wrong in their relationship, but you ain't got one word about what God said he was going to do in yours. You better learn how to take them thoughts captive and quit watching that mess. Second Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. In the NIV, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Ain't no way in the world I will be believing God to get married, and I will be always on this here internet, in these interwebs, watching some story about who can't find a good man. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Babe, I don't care nothing about that. Evan was talking to one of our friend's daughters the other day, and she was talking about how she decided early. She knew that the man that she was looking for wasn't going to her school, and he also wasn't going to her church. So she said she opened herself and got up on a dating app, and now she happily married to a man who isn't her race. She said, but what I was looking for is I believe God has somebody who would love me well, and now that's the reality that she's living in. You got to demolish these arguments and these pretensions that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. You got to begin to take your thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. And then you got to learn how to live by faith and stand firm. Walking in faith and trusting in God's promises and standing firm in the face of spiritual opposition, knowing that victory is assured in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promise. I say this all the time. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to teach you how to walk by faith. I was thinking about this. A lot of people don't know how to walk by faith. The truth of it is that when you believe, you receive. I can always tell people who believe they received, because people who believe they receive are no longer focused on what they can see because they know what God said. We believe that we received that Jordan would talk. We were no longer focused on what Jordan wasn't or wasn't saying because we had already heard from God. When you're telling me that you believe in God for healing, but every day you check in your body to see if you heal, you have not believed you received healing. You are looking for the manifestation of health to tell you that God told the truth. God told the truth because he said it. It was true when God said it. But what you're doing is you're praying and then you're checking to see if God told the truth. No. The position of healing says, because God told the truth, my body must line up. Now, some things may take more time than others, but it's already done. And then 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, New Living Translation. It says, be on guard and stand firm in faith. Be courageous and be strong. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Now, listen, we're getting ready to get out of here. But before we do, if you need to give your life to Jesus, baby, let me tell you something. You do not want to be on the devil's side. The way the devil out here tormenting people. Have you ever noticed that you be on the devil's side and then he still treats you bad? Have you ever noticed that the devil gets you to sin and then he talk bad to you when you sin? Have you ever noticed that whatever the devil called freedom is really just a deeper form of bondage? That the devil tell you to go do X to be free and it don't actually make you feel better? He tell you to drink and you actually don't feel better when you drink. He tell you to get high, but you actually don't feel better when you get high. He tell you to stay offended, but you actually don't feel better being offended, because all he is a liar. All he does is lie. He's just the lie and the father of lies. But you need to come home. Pastor Sean, you don't know what they did to me. Girl, come on home and let the Father fix it for you. Pastor Sean, you don't know how I messed up. Come on home and let the Father fix it for you. Have you ever noticed that whenever the enemy gets you to give in to your flesh, it always makes you more miserable? Take something as simple as this. Have you ever noticed that when the devil gets you to overeat, you always end up miserable when it's over? It'd be 6 hours later and you laying in the bed. Sick, because he's a thief. Come home and let the Father fix it for you. So if you want to give your life to the Lord as we get ready to do these declarations, you need to put a 3 in the comments. And I want to say this. I'm not trying to be funny. Y'all will think I'm being rude, but I'm not being rude. I'm just trying to talk about walking in authority. Some of y'all got to make a decision that you with God, because you ain't got to keep coming back every week. If you just stay on with him, you ain't got to keep coming back every week. You don't. Just stay home. So when you come home this time, stay home. Stop going back out there in them streets getting your tail toe out the seam. Come home and stay home. So if you want to give your life to the Lord, put a 3 in the comments and then come home and stay home. Those of you, many of you, you need to ask to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You can do that right where you are. Lord, I need the Holy Ghost to go to heaven, man? I need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. I need the Holy Ghost to drive my car in traffic. I need the Holy Ghost every step. And then if you want to be a partner of this great church, Fellowship of Champions, they'll put the information up there and you can go and you can fill out the partnership form and come and be a part. Listen, let's make some declarations as we get ready to get out of here. Y'all ready? Make this declaration. Say, I receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. My ears are anointed to hear. My eyes are anointed to see. And my heart is open to receive. When I hear the Holy Spirit, I respond quickly. I do not delay in obedience. Make this declaration. Everything the Holy Spirit tells me is for my good. Everything the Holy Spirit tells me is for my good. Say, the Holy Spirit tells me things to keep me safe. The Holy Spirit tells me things to keep me safe. Say, in the name of Jesus, I curse and dig up every root and plant in my life that is not of God. We'll say that again. In the name of Jesus, I curse and uproot every root and plant in my life that is not of God. I command it to dry up and die like the fig tree. Die now. Now I want you to begin to pray. I'm just going to take a second. We only got a few minutes left. I want you to take a second and begin to pray. Father, every unrighteous relationship, every ungodly covenant, every ungodly mindset, in the name of Jesus, I release the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn it up in the name of Jesus. I give you permission to walk through all of me at a cellular level and break up anything that did not come from you. Every lie that I have believed, everything I believe about my personality, everything I believe about life, everything I believe about circumstances and situations. Any and everything that I believe that did not come from you, I release the fire of the Holy Ghost to burn it up now in Jesus' name. And I break covenant with those lies. I break covenant with that untruth. I break covenant with that stronghold, and I come into the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break up with every spirit that says that I am not loved as well as other people. I break up with every spirit that causes me to operate in rejection. I break up with every suicidal spirit. I break up with every self-harming spirit. I break up with every sexual perversion spirit. I break up with every lying spirit, and I come into the truth. I come into the truth that I am a new creature in Christ, and I plant the word of God in my house, in my life, and I say grow and flourish in the name of God. The flourishing, the word of God flourishes in my life in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a couple more. In the name of Jesus, I declare that every weapon formed against me and my family become ashes now. I release the fire of God over every weapon aimed at me and my family now in Jesus' name. Come on, in the name of Jesus. I release the fire of God over every attack against me and my family right now in Jesus' name. Come on and see it. I want you to see flames of fire going out, breaking out ungodly alliances, breaking up everything that's standing against your family, grief and offense and discord and dysfunction. We come against the spirit of dysfunction in families in Jesus' name. We release the peace of God in families in Jesus' name. Mandelebe koshoto rona na na mandebe keshete I kasandelebe kosoto. We call our family blessed in Jesus' name. We release the peace of God in our families. I want you to lay hands on yourself, and I want you to say, make me the peacemaker in my family. Let me represent you well in my family. Make me the peacemaker. Help me to represent you well. Help me to speak about my family the way that you want to. Help me to say what you want me to say. Help me to see them the way that you want me to see them. Help me to respond the way that you want me to respond. Glory to God. Glory to God. We got one more, one more, one more, one more. In the name of Jesus, every demonic gate against my divine purpose be broken now in Jesus' name. So what am I saying? Every gate, every demonic gate, every demonic door that's been closed, every lock that is stopping you, that is holding you in confinement, I want you to send the fire of God. God, you know where I should be working. You know where I should be living. You know what I should be doing. And I release the fire of God over every demonic assignment, over every gate, over every stronghold, over every lie, over every whisper that has me out of position. And I release the wind of God to put me in proper place. I release the wind of God to put me in proper place. I release the wind of God to put me in proper place. I release the fire of God to burn up anything that should not be regarding my destiny. And I release the wind of God to put us in proper place. We get into formation now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Come on and just give the Lord some praise. We about to get out of here. Listen, it's your opportunity to give. I think you got a good word to give into today. You can give in Givelify, Push Pay, Tithely, text to give. Or if you are an international partner, use PayPal. The email address is focchurchnwa@gmail.com. But let me tell y'all something. Have you been blessed by this word today? You know what I'm always going to ask. What did you get from the word today? You know I always want to know, what did you get from the word today? Somebody give me a good name for your seed today. What you going to call your seed today? I want to hear what you're going to call your seed today. Listen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jim said, this is her authority seed. He said, I got the power. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be moved and tossed and all kind of, but the word works. No matter what's going on in the world, I win. My seed is authority and jurisdiction. Come on. My release seed. Hallelujah. Now, listen, we want you to be at service this week. Yes, yes, Sister Lee. Call them spiritual elements to do their jobs. Let's go. Let's go. But you know what you said, jobs. Let's release some jobs. Do y'all want to release some jobs before we go? Let's release some jobs. Don't just have me out here doing it by myself. Listen, I decree and declare over every covenant partner of this ministry and every friend of this ministry. I call the job that belongs to you in this season to come to you now. And I command any hindrance against you getting that job to be removed now in Jesus' name, and the wind of God to set you in your proper employment. I pray over every entrepreneur, that every dollar and every client that belongs to you in the year of 2024, that it come to you now in Jesus' name. I declare that we are blessed in our employment, whether we are employees or entrepreneurs. I bless your investments in Jesus' name. I bless your investments in Jesus' name. I call for the release of real estate to you now in Jesus' name. Those of you that God is speaking to about real estate, I call real estate to you now in Jesus' name. There are houses, there are apartments, there is land, there are businesses that are being prepared for you. And I declare that your ear is in tune with heaven and you hear what God is saying and you move quickly. I declare the favor of God to go before you and connect you with the right professionals that you need, the right lawyers, the right real estate agents, the right mortgage companies, the right financiers, the right investors. I declare that what the will of God is for your life, that you, so that you can have more to bring into the kingdom, be done now in Jesus' name. I'm sorry, y'all. I got one more. And I pray against every plot and plan of the enemy to cut your life short. I come against every satanic attack that would cut your life short. In the name of Jesus, I send the fire of God against every spirit of premature death. Everything that would steal your mind, steal your life, every bit of dysfunction that would cause you to cut your life short, to die early, to stop living, to be stagnant, to be stuck. And I say, live in the name of Jesus. You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I say, live in the name of Jesus. I say, live in the name of Jesus. Live in the name of Jesus. And it is so. Amen. God, thank y'all for hanging out with me today. Y'all pray these prayers. I don't know who got prayer on Tuesday night, but we need to talk about what you're praying, because we got some declarations to make. We got some land to take. It's some stuff that belongs to FOC and her partners, and we shall see it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys so much. Come to all the activities. Have a great week. See you soon.